you, folks. Good music. A few weeks ago, we began to consider the matter of the promises of God. This morning, I'd like for us to continue to see the promises of God and a particular promise this morning, and to learn from this promise that God's promises operate on the basis of God's laws. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. We'll read verses 7 through 9 this morning. And see here that these promises, which are based on God's law, find their fulfillment in the very nature of God Himself. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Standing together, please, as we read. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Our Father, help us this morning to understand the principles of Thy Word contained here. Help us to see, dear Lord, the scriptural law of sowing and reaping. Help us to see that this law brings with it a promise that we shall reap in due season if we faint not. And help us this morning, Lord, to understand the kind of sowing that we have been doing is responsible for whatever reaping we're doing now. And help us, dear Lord, to understand what kind of reaping we want to do in the future for Thy honor and glory, so that we might sow accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, to help you understand a little bit this idea that things operate on the basis of law and not on the basis of luck, I want you to imagine with me for a few moments that we're standing at the foot of the Empire State Building. Now, that is not the highest building in the world anymore. There are higher, but I believe that one is about 1,300 feet. Now, here we are at the bottom of the Empire State Building, and we're looking up, and there's 10 people standing up there on the edge of the Empire State Building. And if we had all the information to know about those folks, we would understand that one of them is rich and one of them is poor. One of them is educated and one is uneducated. One of them is young and one of them is old. One of them is very handsome and the other one is very ugly. One of them is tall and one of them is short. Now, I want to ask you a question. If all 10 of those people jump, how many of them are coming down? How many? All of them are. Okay. So it doesn't make any difference then whether you're tall or short, whether you're handsome or ugly, whether you're smart or dumb, educated. It doesn't make any difference. The law of gravity takes over as soon as they jump. Now, there are some things in God's universe that operate on the basis of law. In fact, all things operate on the basis of law. Nothing happens by luck. Now, wouldn't it be absurd for a person to say, some people just have all the luck. If I jump off here, I know for sure I'll go straight down. And yet that is exactly the way that we live our lives concerning certain areas of our performance. We say, if I do a certain thing, I know it's going to turn out this way because the whole universe is geared against me. I'm just so unlucky that I know that it'll turn out that way. No, God's laws are immutable and unchangeable, and so if we'll put our lives into line with those laws, we can help to use those laws to our advantage. So, God's promise, then, is that what we sow, we will reap. I want us to understand that this morning. I am almost hesitant to preach messages like this. In fact, I can only think of one other time when I've really preached on the subject of money. For the sake of our visitors here this morning, I know some folks think that, boy, all these Baptists do is preach on money. Well, the rest of you tell them that's not so. Amen. Because we don't always preach on that. We always maybe want to or ought to. But we don't. But this morning, I'm going to try to clear up some thinking that I have discerned in the hearts and attitudes of some of our people here and teach you this morning that the scriptural promise of sowing and reaping is one that you ought to get your life in line with. First, let's see that the law of sowing and reaping is seen throughout the Bible. The law of sowing and reaping is seen throughout the Bible. Let's notice several passages of Scripture here. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now that says if you sow one type of behavior, you're going to reap something in return for it. If you are a lazy kind of a person, you're going to come to poverty. If you're a diligent sort of a person, you're going to get what you want. Now, you are going to reap what you sow. We learn from these verses right here. Just across the page a little way, Proverbs chapter 11. Verses 24 and 25 says, There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. That says that your sowing and your reaping are proportional. You're going to reap in proportion to the kind of sowing that you do. You hold back and you won't get. You give out and you will receive. Sowing and reaping is found throughout the Bible. And our reaping is in direct proportion to our sowing. Over in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, we read there, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now there's logic here as well as inspired truth. Inspired truth obviously is logical. The reason we ought to treat people the way we want them to treat us is because people will treat us like we treat them. Have you ever noticed that to be the case? You go into a restaurant, and you sit down, and you decide that you're going to have a good attitude, and you'll probably receive a good attitude in return. You make up your mind that you're going to be bitter and complaining and how you think the service is going to be. You've seen folks like that before. Maybe you've had the misfortune of eating with somebody like that. You'll go in and sit down, and they'll say, "Boy, this tablecloth is a filthy mess. How about changing this for us?" And the lady says, "Oh, sure, I'll be glad to, sir." So she'll get a clean tablecloth, she'll put that down. "This silverware looks like it's been washed by a bunch of monkeys. Why don't you get me some clean silverware?" And so they bring some clean silverware. "Boy, this water is not cold enough. Why don't you do this? And this food's not good. Take it back and bring me another one." The next thing you know, what kind of service you think you're going to be getting? Probably not much at all, you see. But you go in there and you make up your mind that you're going to be courteous and kind and generous, and people are going to be courteous and kind and generous to you. And that's the way that people will respond to you. It tells us in Proverbs 18:24, "He that hath friends must show himself friendly." We're going to receive the kind of responses from people that we demonstrate to them. Now, some people think that they ought not to be friendly unless people are friendly to them. And so their whole attitude is nothing but response. But if you want to get responses from people, then you're going to have to initiate that response by your action. You're going to reap in other people what you sow. Now, there's some people that can't get along with anybody. Doesn't make any difference. And they'll complain about their boss. They'll complain about their co-workers. They'll complain about everybody. And the problem is they'll go from this job and they'll go right to the next job and do what? Exactly the same thing. Because they're reaping what they sow. Now, a little bit further down there, it says in verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." The results reveal the practice. By their fruits. What kind of fruit? "By their children ye shall know them. By their congregation ye shall know them. By their students, you shall know them. By their fruits, you know what the practice is." You're going to reap what you sow. And that reaping is going to be the fruit. Now, there are folks who can't understand why their children behave the way they do. A fellow told me here a while back that he was beginning to discern some attitudes in his children. He'd tell his son to do something, and the son would say, "I don't want to do so-and-so." Or the son would say, "I don't like this," and this kind of stuff. "Wow, what in the world's going on here?" And then he'd hear himself speaking to his son. He'd say, "Don't you do so-and-so. Haven't I told you so-and-so?" He was reaping the same attitude that he was sowing in his son. Now, we will reap what we sow. That's a law of God's universe. It's immutable. And we ought to live our lives in line with it. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, we see there, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give, and it shall be given unto you." Now, I had a fellow tell me one time, it was not it was just a matter of misunderstanding, I think. I was trying to explain this verse to a fellow, and he said, "Yeah, but you're a preacher. You're in a position to receive. I don't read here, 'Give, and it shall be given unto the preacher.' It says, 'Give, and it shall be given unto you.' Shall men give unto your bosom." I'm not trying to teach you this morning some kind of a misunderstanding concerning a bargain with God or anything like that that you're making. The simple promise of God's word is, if you will give, it will be given unto you. Some of you here know that that's true. Some of you here only want to be on the receiving end of things and have never properly understood this principle of giving, and therefore you're not receiving like you wish you were. Now, give, and it shall be given. Sowing and reaping is the law of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, that word cheerful is exactly the same as the word hilarious. That means we don't say, oh boy, here comes the offering. I'll take my 10% out and put that in the offering plate. That means, brother, when the offering plate, we say, hey, take that! Amen! Brother, I'm glad to be able to give to God's work. I mean, that's the kind of an attitude that we ought to give with. Now you say, well, I'll tell you, I'm living on a tight budget, and it's all I can do to give my 10%. Let me tell you something. If every time you take your tithe out of your weekly check and get ready to put that in God's offering, it's a burden to you. There's only one cure for that. That's increase your giving. That's the only cure that I know of, because the only way you can keep from giving out of necessity is to give more. Because if you just give 10%, oh, I've got to give this 10%, oh, God will make me sick, or, you know, my tires will blow out, or, you know, that's necessity, friend. You're not supposed to give out of necessity. You're supposed to give out of a hilarious attitude. Brother, I am thankful. Listen, this whole matter of tithing is not giving to get, and don't you ever give to get. You give to testify that you know you're going to get. Because God said He'd take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We give to testify that we know God's going to take care of us. Listen, I'm going to give my offering, and brother, I know God's going to meet my needs. I don't have to hang on to this to try to take care of myself. God's going to take care of me. That's what the whole thing is about. The very idea that God should need our money. Think about that for a minute. You see? We give to testify of our faith. Before you sow, decide how much you want to reap. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He that soweth sparingly is going to reap sparingly. You're going to reap what you sow. Verses 8 through 10, I'm not sure if I can explain everything that's there. But verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And it goes on down through there. And I think what that's teaching is, if you will sow bountifully, God will make you able to sow bountifully. Haven't you seen some folks like that? Don't we react just like that fellow jumping off the Empire State Building would say? Or if I jump off, I'll fall. We say, well, man, if God would give me $1 million, I'd be glad to give half of it to the Lord's work. That's a good way of asking for $500,000, isn't it? You see? I mean, let's straighten our attitudes out, folks. If God could trust me with $1 million, I'd have $1 million, wouldn't I? But I wouldn't have it for long, because I'd give it the way God wanted me to give it. You see? If God could trust us with it, folks, we'd have it, wouldn't we? Now, it's as simple as that. God owns all the money in the world. He decides who gets it. Now, if there's a law that we can put ourselves in line with, we ought to do that. And I believe we have one here. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. In Galatians chapter 6, again, where we took our text this morning, let's go back and read verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, fellas, if you agree with me on this, say amen, because this is not easy to preach. It sounds like I'm asking for money, and I'm not. But what that says is that the fellow who's teaching you the word of God deserves your financial communication. That is what it says. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate. That means pay. Unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now we've got some young fellows here in this church that are going to be in the ministry that need to change their attitude about this thing. Our older fellows who've been in churches, who've been deacons in other churches, who've had positions of leadership from time to time, don't have any problem with this. The fellows that need to change their attitudes are some of the young preacher boys in this church who are now living on $100 a week, trying to get through school, expecting that that's the way it's going to be for the rest of their lives. You put two kids in a Christian school, and that'll be the end of your $100 right there. Now think about that for a few moments. So I don't believe I like this kind of preaching. I don't like it that we got men on staff eating oatmeal for supper either. I don't think it ought to be that way. I don't think that's the way God intended for it to be. Now we need to change our attitude about it. We're going to reap what we sow, folks, as a church as well. There's three ideas in this passage here. It says you're going to reap what you sow, you're going to reap more than you sow, and you'll reap later than you sow. Another passage that I want you to see, before we go too much further with that idea, is in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters. Now, I'm not sure if we can make the application 100% of the way, but I believe here the application is between employers and employees. So let's put those words in there. Employees, obey in all things your employers, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, folks, let me ask you something. Do you believe that God has called me to preach and to pastor this church?
Amen.
All right? I'm in God's will right now. Some of you here are called to preach, and one of these days you'll be pastoring your own church or preaching somewhere, and at that time you'll be in God's will. But for this morning, do you believe that God's will is for you to be here and listen to this? All right? How about the job that you're working right now? You may not like the job that you have. You may be working with your hands. You may be working with tools. You may be working with raw materials. You may be doing something, but is that God's will for your life? All right, now, if it's not, you need to do one of two things. You need to straighten your attitude out and find God's will and go get you another job, or you need to change the way you're working. Now, you ought to do your job exactly like you expect me to do mine, as unto the Lord. Is your employer the source of your income? No, no. God is the source of your income. Who's the source of my income? God's the source of my income. What about you? Who are you working for? Listen, want to get a raise? Work a little bit harder. The man that you're working for will take care of you. Simple as that. Yeah, but you just don't know my boss. Yes, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're working for Him, He said He'll pay you. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. What does that do with strikes, by the way? Listen, of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. Who are you working for, fellas? You ought to perform your duties on the job as unto God. And if you can't do that, you're in the wrong job, fella. You need to go out and get right with God and get in the right kind of a job. That'll taught me an interesting principle this week. He says, you know, a lot of times strife in a church happens because somebody there is called to preach but won't. And he never can submit to the leadership of the church because he's a leader in his own heart, because that's the way God made him. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? So, if your job is God's will for your life, do it as unto the Lord. That also works regardless of whether you're doing right or wrong. Verse 25 says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. Doesn't make any difference whether you're tall or short. Doesn't make any difference whether you're handsome or ugly. Doesn't make any difference whether you're educated or uneducated. When the law takes effect, the law takes effect. There's no respect of persons. So, the law of sowing and reaping is seen throughout the Bible. Many, many other passages we could turn to this morning. Another principle I want you to understand is that the law of sowing and reaping is seen in every area of life. Now let me share with you a little story. Here we've got two farmers. First farmer and the second farmer over here live side by side. You've got houses that look just alike. They've got the same amount of property. They've both got about 40 acres. They've got the same amount of grain, about 10 bushels. They've got the same equipment. They've got the same energy. They've got everything just the same. Now, the first farmer decides, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this ground, and I'm going to till it up, and I'm going to take my grain, and I'm going to put it in the ground, and I'm going to get me a harvest of grain. He says to himself, I've got about 10 bushels of grain, but I'm not going to be stupid like this other farmer and take all of my seed and put it in the dirt. I mean, good night. Put it in the ground? I'm going to keep this stuff. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put about a bushel of it out there just to see what happens. And I'm going to take the other 9 bushels down to the mill, and I'm going to have it ground up into meal, and I'm going to eat me some cornbread. Okay, so that's what they do. They get the plow out, and they go out there, and they start plowing. The first farmer boy, he is plowing day after day. He gets that ground broke up. He gets it all turned over. He gets his harrow down through there, and he runs the disc through there, and he gets the ground all pulverized, sets it up in rows, begins to cultivate and plant his corn. He plants an acre, then he plants another acre. He keeps on going until he's got all 10 bushels and 40 acres of corn planted. Second farmer, he says, man, that's ridiculous. He takes 1 bushel, he goes out and he plants about 4 acres. He takes the other 9 down to the mill, has it ground up into cornmeal, gets his wife to make him some hot, buttered cornbread, sets out on his front porch and puts his feet up on the rail and watches the first farmer out there plowing. About 2 weeks go by, the rain begins to come, the first farmer, he's out there hoeing the weeds. Well, I mean, he is really working hard. He's sweating, he's praying for rain, he's doing everything that he's supposed to do, working in accordance with God's laws. Second fella, he says, man, that's ridiculous. That fella can't even enjoy his cornbread. Here I am having a good time. I'm going fishing. So he takes off and he goes down to the fishing hole and he catches a lot of fish. Well, the whole summer goes by. First farmer's out there killing himself in the sun. Second farmer's taking it easy. Now comes time for the harvest. They crank out the combine. Second farmer goes out there and boy, it's all he can do to get his combine through the weeds. He's getting half cockleburrs and half corn. He reaps about 50 bushels to the acre. He's only planted 4 acres, so he gets about 200 bushels of corn. He thinks, man, this is tremendous. I put out 1 bushel of corn. I got 200 back. Praise the Lord, he says. Boy, isn't that great. Meanwhile, first farmer's still reaping. He gets back about 100 bushels per acre. And he planted 40 acres. So he's reaping about 4,000 bushels of corn. Meanwhile, the second farmer's saying, that's the luckiest man I've ever seen in my life. I can't understand it. The whole universe is set up against me. Why, I can't do a thing. Look at this. I get 200 bushels of corn for my effort, and he gets 4,000. Now, was the first farmer lucky? Or was it law? And yet, you and I live our lives as though it depended on luck. Folks, nothing could be more foolish. It depends on law. Now, in a few months, Brother Ron Hood is going to come back and share these thoughts and many others with us. When he was here, he taught us about the 6 areas of life. I think this law of sowing and reaping applies to each of these 6 areas of life that he taught us about. Think about the physical life for just a few minutes. If you get the right kind of rest, proper exercise, eat the right kinds of food, you're going to be healthy. Unless there's some sin that the Lord's having to afflict your body to cure you of, you're probably going to be healthy if you'll follow those basic laws. How about your spiritual life? Folks are always looking for some kind of an easy way. Well, if I could just buy this little booklet over here and read that, that'd be the answer. If I could just get this little method over here and do that, that'd be great. If I could just look at these little pictures over here and help me to memorize the scripture, that'd be great. Boy, everybody's always looking for some kind of an easy way. There isn't an easy way. Hard work. That's it right there. In accordance with the laws of God's universe. Hard work. Sowing and reaping. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap more than you sow, and you'll reap later than you sow. In your physical life and in your spiritual life. Same thing is true of your family life. Now, a fellow here, he's having trouble with his wife. He says, boy, I'll tell you what, this law of sowing and reaping just doesn't work. What do you mean? Well, a couple of months ago, I made up my mind I was going to start treating my wife better. I treated her good one whole day. Nothing changed. Well, now, wait a minute. You reap later than you sow. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow as well. You have to take some time. You don't go out there and put that corn in the ground one day and go back the next day and harvest the crop. Plant's not even out of the ground yet. Give the thing some time. Give it some work and wait. Wait a minute. You put that one grain of corn in the ground, you're going to get a plant out. It's going to have 4 or 5 ears on it. Each ear is going to have several hundred grains of corn on it, isn't it? You put one grain in, you get thousands of grains back. But it takes time. You see? You're going to reap what you sow. Don't go out there and dig the thing up and give up and say it's not going to work. And don't do that in your family either. You just keep on sowing and keep on sowing, and sooner or later, you'll have the right kind of a crop that you want. We reap the attitudes that we demonstrate in our children. By their fruits, you shall know them. Folks got some children, get up in the teenage years. I'm talking to Pastor McCallis about this. He's got a teenager in his house now. I'm getting ready to have one in my house. He doesn't have a bad one. I hope I don't have a bad one. But I know some folks have got some teenagers that, boy, when they get up to that age, they got a way of thinking all their own, see? And, boy, it gets a little late then. Well, cheer up, folks. It's going to get worse when your other kids get to be teenagers. Because you're going to reap in them what you're sowing, you see? I know some folks that, well, boy, it just didn't work out. Maybe it'll be better next time. Well, lady, right now, grieving my heart. Been telling her for 2 years. Her young boy is going to be just like her older boy turned out if she doesn't change her behavior. She can't understand. Oh, he wouldn't do that. Somebody told her that 4 or 5 years ago about the old boy, too. Sowing and reaping. You're going to reap what you sow. Doesn't make any difference, whether it's your family life, spiritual life, physical life, whatever. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your mind with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Sowing and reaping in your mind. If you don't want to say a thing or do a thing, you'd better not think it. What you think about long enough, you're going to talk about. What you think about long enough, you're going to do. That's right. You don't just all of a sudden come up with something that shouldn't be said or come up with some kind of behavior that's completely out of line. That thing was justified in your mind before you ever did it or before you ever said it. If you allow yourself to think about a thing long enough, it'll be reaped in an action. What you sow in your thought life, you're going to reap in your actions. Well, you better straighten up what you're thinking about then, hadn't you? How are you going to do that? Scripture memory. That's the whole key to it right there. We'll read what we sow in our social life as well. We read a few moments ago in Proverbs 18:24, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Isn't it something that some people seem to have more friends than others? Is it because they have such a winning personality? Is it because they have more money? What is it? I don't mean to embarrass my wife, but let me tell you something. My wife laid in the hospital bed for 7 months, a year and a half ago. People come to see her, to cheer her up, and get cheered up. Now, that's the thing right there, folks. That's what it's all about. You're going to reap what you sow. You concentrate not on your own problems, whining and groaning about everything selfish, but concentrate on meeting the needs of others. And your own attitude is going to change about things. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Financial life is another area where you're going to reap and sow. We read Luke chapter 6, verse 38 a few minutes ago. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Now some of you here know that's true. Some of you here just wish it was true. Folks, it is true. It's the Word of God. And you ought to live your life as though you really believed it. There are two ways you can reap material things, from material things rather. You can reap an inner satisfaction, and you'll reap material rewards. Now, if you go out of here and give to get, you've missed the whole point. You've missed the whole point. Don't go out of here and not pay your light bill so you can have more money to give the missionaries. Cut your lights off so you'll have more money to give the missionaries. A performance also out of that which you have, Paul told us in Corinthians. Don't try to invent some money or make some bargain with God that you're going to give all the money you ought to pay your bills with so he'll give you more. It doesn't work that way. Give what you've got, what you can give. And God will reward you in two ways, with an inner satisfaction and with material rewards. A lady came up to Jack House one time and she said, Dr. House, she said, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I heard him say one time to all women, either getting ready to have one, just getting over one, or planning on one sometime in the future. He said, here's what you do. He said, tomorrow, you go down, you go get in your cupboard, and you take your cake out, and you make a cake. You go over to this person and shut in. I've been saving that cake for myself. Oh, don't worry about it. You just bake that cake and you take it down to this person that can't get out and you give them that cake. Have a word of prayer with them. Sing them a song. Give them a word of witness. Be on your way. The next day, you go down to the florist shop. You take a few pennies out of your egg money or whatever and you buy some flowers. You go down to the hospital. And everybody that hadn't had a visitor that day, you go in there and you give them a flower. The next day, you go in here and you do something else nice for somebody. Just keep on day after day after day. And you do that for 2 weeks and you come back and see me. And 2 weeks later, the lady came back. She said, I have never experienced joy like I'm experiencing now. And why is it that some people call us up, oh, I got to have this problem, oh, I got this going on, oh, woe is me. They got their eyeballs all turned around backwards and they're looking just at themselves and they can't see anybody else and they can't help anybody else and all they can think about is their own problems. Well, sure, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. Sure, you're going to become neurotic. Sure, you're going to have nothing but problems because you're nothing but selfish. That's why. Because you're sowing, or you're reaping, rather, what you've sown. You've sown selfishness, and you've reaped hunger. And that's exactly the way it works. It's interesting that some people never give, but always ask. Isn't it interesting that the people that understand the principles of giving like they ought to never have to ask? Because God meets their need. Now, folks, that's true. Sometimes God will bless you with material things. Now, folks, I could stand here for 2 hours and tell you stories. I am going to tell you a few this morning. I haven't done this now since I've been here 2.5 years, whatever it's been. Because I've always been cautious of sounding like I'm asking for something. I'm not asking for something. I just want to tell you something. You've heard me say it over and over again. You can't outgive God. How many of you heard me say that? All right, now I want to demonstrate to you how I know that's true. About 2 weeks ago, the Lord laid it on my heart to help a friend of mine. Wrote him a $50 check. The same day, man walks right in here. Pastor Kowski sitting back there at the table. Has a $50 check for me. The man's not even a member of this church. Don't even know who he is. Back before Christmas, I decided that the Lord was leading me to buy a friend of mine a suit of clothes. Bought him a suit of clothes. Took him down to the men's store, got him all suited up. Boy, this looked great. 2 or 3 days later, a fellow comes in, hands me a check for $160. Says, I want you to go something, buy yourself a suit of clothes. Shirt, tie, a whole bit. I got it on right now. I was getting ready to take a trip, go up to Kentucky, preaching church, marry a couple here in the church. Stopped at the gas station over on Waitham Boulevard. There was a fellow who's going to the mission field. He's a good friend of mine. Sitting there pumping gas. Doing his deputation work. Didn't have many meetings through Christmas. Was pumping gas. And boy, I had to get everything done. I got a station wagon with spare tires. Hard to get to. And the valve stem was down on the bottom. He had to dig all through there and get that thing all out of there. And he was getting all dirty. And it was cold. And the wind was blowing. I was getting ready to write my check. $20-whatever it is now for a tank of gas. And I thought to myself, boy, this fellow needs some help. He's wanting to go to the mission field. He wants to serve God. He don't want to be out here pumping air in my tire. So I wrote him a check for $50 and handed it to him. His mouth fell open. I said, what's this for? And I said, that's this little missions money I wanted you to have. The next Sunday, I preached at a church up in Kentucky. They gave me a $200 love offering for one service. And a man in that church the next week called me, ordered two boxes of gauze that my little girl needs for her head. It would have cost me $340. God's been good to us. Just the week before that, I was groaning about, oh, how in the world are we going to do it? The gauze has gone up from 50 cents a roll to $1.70 a roll in the last year. We used two of them a day. God took care of that need. You reap what you sow, folks. You reap what you sow. So I don't believe that, and that never happens to me. That's because you're not sowing like you ought to be sowing. You're reaping what you sow. You don't like your reaping? You change your sowing. Now, that's just all there is to it. Took some of that money I got from the love offering, came back and decided I wanted to buy another guy's suit of clothes. Took him down to Minnesota, got him all fitted up, put the thing on there. Just a few days later, got a letter from Southside Christian School saying somebody has applied $201.50 to your children's tuition. They want to remain anonymous. But praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord sure is good. Back in December, God convicted me in my heart about increasing my person whose counsel I value very highly. They were saying, well, now, maybe don't you think that what you ought to do is not give quite so much right now until you take care of some of these other obligations? I said, no, God showed me that this is what He wants me to give, and that's what I'm going to give. Well, I humbled myself, and I went down to see a fellow that I owed a car payment to. Shouldn't have a car payment, by the way. Okay? God's met my need. I just violated a principle a few months back before I learned this. Went down to see the fella, and I'd love to be able to stand up here and tell you, well, God's given me everything that I need right on time always. No, sometimes God has me to humble myself and go see the guy. And on this particular day, I did. I went down and humbled myself and explained to him what I was going to do to try to get out of this situation. He said, okay, that'd be fine. I thought, now how in the world am I going to witness to this man in these circumstances? He said to me, before I got ready to leave, he said, well, sir, he says, I really appreciate you coming in here. He says, a lot of people don't do it this way. A lot of people just get way behind, come in and throw the keys down one day, or better, worse yet, we have to go get it. He said, I really appreciate your coming in and explaining your situation. He says, I can understand why things are like they are. And he said, we'll work with you just as much as we possibly can. Folks, that was humiliating for me, and it's humiliating for me to stand up here and tell you this today. But I'll tell you what, before the sun went down that day, through four different sources, God gave me $400. You reap what you sow. Here a while back, the Lord laid something on my heart. I want to make a purchase for a dear friend of mine. It's going to cost me around $600. I said, okay, we'll put so much aside each week. Make this purchase for him. Just a few days later, as many of you know, because you were here and took part in it, God laid it on the hearts of the people of this church to pay the hospital bill for the birth of my new son. Over $600. You reap what you sow. Less than 2 weeks ago, a man was standing right back there. He was in the first service this morning. Came up to me and he said, I'm out of fuel oil. Can I borrow some money? I said, no, I don't loan money, but I'll give you $10. I took the last $10 out of my billfold and handed it to him. And in just a few days, my battery went dead in my car, and God bought me a $60 battery to go in my car. Last Sunday, a fellow came up to me and he said, my car broke down. I'm not sure what to do. And I said, well, why don't you take my car and go on home? He's here in service today. Later this same week, a fellow came up and got my little orange car out here. He said, I'd like to take your car and get it fixed for you. He's doing all his work on my car. Listen, you reap what you sow. Folks, it's true. You can count on it. I've proved it out. It's true because God's Word says it's true. But it's true because it works as well. 3 weeks ago, we began to preach this series of messages on the numerical structure of Scripture. I realized that I didn't have much reference material on that. Got a lot of books, but I didn't have any of the particular books I needed. Well, we make a little sacrifice, go out here and get some books. And so we went out to James Rochester out on the Easy Highway. We got out there and they had a little sale table going on out there. Picked up a little book there and it was all about children's stories, great heroes and all this kind of stuff. Alexander Graham Bell and all these great Americans and all this kind of stuff. And it was written by the same woman that wrote one of the little Bible story books that we have. And I thought, well, that'd probably be pretty good. It's only a dollar and a quarter and I saw they had two copies of it there. So I thought to myself, well, Pastor McCandless would probably enjoy that for his kids. So I bought this other one, brought it home to him. Less than 2 weeks later, a fellow walks up to my front door, got a whole set, 15-volume set of Spurgeon's Expository Encyclopedia, hands to me. Says, I got these for you. Thought you might like them. Folks, you reap what you sow. Now, if you don't like your reaping, change your sowing. Change your sowing. You reap more than you sow, too. You see? But you reap later than you sow. A couple weeks ago, my oldest daughter sat in bed, and I went up to tell her goodnight. And she was very sad. And she said, Daddy, it seems like we don't have very much time together. So busy doing things for other people. And she says, I can't even remember a good time that we've had together as a family, except last year when we went up the mountain for a few days. I said, I know, honey. We're all busy, involved, helping other people right now. Maybe we'll have some time. You pray about it. A couple days later, we had opportunity to make Valentine's. Valentine Day at school. Well, we could go to the store and spend some of the grocery money or something on these things, I guess. But I said, let's do this. Let's get some construction paper and the glue and the pink and shears and all that stuff. And well, we'll make Valentine's this year. My wife and I were talking about it, kind of looking at each other, wondering if the kids were going to be embarrassed to take their old homemade Valentine's. We worked on it for 2 or 3 hours, and my son began to realize what it was all about. He said, you know, it means a whole lot more when you do it yourself. It really means something to the people, doesn't it? 2 days later, they brought an envelope to my door. Little heart-shaped words typed in that little heart-shaped space saying, we love you. We want you to spend 4 days up on Beach Mountain in the chalet. Praise God. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow, folks. It's true. Back last spring, decided to want to help a young fella. Trying to be an encouragement to him. Took him out, bought him a suit of clothes, got him a pair of work shoes, got him some work clothes, got him all fixed up. Just a few days later, standing right over there where we were working on the house, a man walked in and writes me a check for $1,000 right in front of him. He didn't know what to do. I can't always tell you where it comes from. I was talking to Ron Hood about this very subject one day, sitting in his car in his driveway, and he told me, I'm praying for $2,500 right now. I know it's coming. He said, I've done the right kind of sowing. I know God wants me to have this money. While we sat there, in that very conversation, his wife came to the car, handed him an envelope from the mail. He opened it up, and there was a check for $2,500 in it. Folks, you reap what you sow. Now, if you don't like what you reap, then change your sowing. Folks, we can go on like this for 2 solid hours. There's folks right here that can tell you the same thing. Listen, it's true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Here a few weeks ago, a fellow calls me up one Sunday night. I'm tired. Boy, I want to go to bed. I said, my car won't start. I need some help. Try to make the evening service. He's here this morning. I said, okay, I'll be right out. I keep a tow chain and a set of jumper cables in my car. When I tried to help him, did a stupid thing. My bumper didn't match up, crunched my grill, a whole bunch of other nonsense. Didn't make any difference. That battery I was telling you about that went dead just a couple weeks ago, the week the baby was born. Dead battery. That's not good. I'm sitting out here and I get ready to go take my family up to get a pizza. Let's go get a pizza. Wife's not feeling good. Baby's on the way and everything. We'll go get a pizza, you know, and do that. I'm out there and the car won't start. Here comes Pastor Fikowski out his front door. Oh, I had a little trouble. I opened up the hood, jump start the car, and go drive up to Pizza City. Here's Bernie sitting there at Pizza City. I pull right in beside him so I can get me a jump start on the way out. Which I had to do. Pretty soon God gave me a battery. Listen, folks, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. That's true. I hope you believe that. I know we're taking a lot of time this morning, folks, but I hope you can understand this like you've never understood it before. If God gives us the time, we're trying to write a book about some experiences that we've had in the last 2 years. Goods or services in excess of $500,000 have been given to my family in over 2 years. Medical help, $15,000 in cash alone to meet hospital bills and travel expenses while my wife and baby were in the hospital. Folks, you reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, but sometimes you reap later than you sow. Some of you fellows in here looking for work from time to time. I'm going to tell you right now how to put every gas station in Greenville out of business. Here's what you do if you had investment money. Get started in a little gas station situation. Remember the days when you used to go out and get gas and the fellow would come out to meet you at your car? And he would say, sir, can I wash your windshield? He'd wash your windshield for you. He'd check under that hood. He'd check the air in your tires. He'd put water in your radiator. He'd put oil in your car. He'd do all that stuff. And then he'd charge you for the gasoline. He'd smile at you. Well, it got to a time where they didn't want to look under the hood too much anymore unless you just asked them to. Then they got to the place where they didn't want to wash your windshield anymore. Then they got a little bit more lazy and they wouldn't put air in your tires. Then they got to the place where now they don't even want to pump your gas. And that's so bad they won't even come out and get the money. You take the money into them, now they get frustrated because you interrupted their TV program. Here's what you do. You get you a fleet of clean-cut fellas. Get up there and start you a gas station. Boy, as soon as that guy pulls in, you've got guys all over his car. I mean, you clean his windshield, you check under his hood, you put water in his radiator, you check his air, and you charge about 5 cents less a gallon, and you'll have them lined up around the block. That's right. You provide service, and people will be there. Now, that's it right there. Fella, you want a raise? Work harder. Give more. Yeah, but you don't know my boss. No, but I know Jesus Christ. And folks, I'll tell you what. I look back at the average income that my family has received. An additional 50% over and above, 50% of what we're receiving from the church, over and above, every week, for the last 52 weeks, to help us meet our needs. God is faithful. Don't be deceived. You're going to reap what you sow. Well, why this message? What's the question of sowing and reaping for Faith Baptist Church? I never taught this here. Because of the circumstances under which we came to the church. I don't mean to cast any bad reflections on anybody that preceded us here in this ministry or on anyone who was here when we came. But folks, the church was in a financial mess 2 years ago. The missionaries weren't being paid, couldn't afford a pastor, everything was in a mess. We came saying, all right, we'll come and we'll take over the ministry as much as we can and we'll help you with it. We'll meet our own way. The church gave us a small salary. We got started. The Lord began to bless. We began to pay the missionaries. We began to pay the bills. We began to improve our financial testimony. Things began to improve. I began to teach a philosophy here that says, folks, we need to get our philosophy straightened out first. And then we need to get our faculty together. Put our staff together. And then we need to build a facility. And folks, we haven't realized that down in the grassroots where it counts. We've still got some folks here that think we ought to build a building before we build a staff. We've still got some folks here that think what we need to do is have a facade out front where people can see us before we have people in here who will meet the needs of others. Now, can you feature that for just a few minutes? If you went to get a job someplace and they got you together with all the other employees and all the other employees decided what you were going to get paid, now you'd say that's ridiculous and you wouldn't work for a place like that, but that's the way we've been doing it here. And folks, Lord, helping me, as long as I'm pastor here, we're not going to do that that way anymore. It's like one of our men said in a deacon's meeting here a while back, the question is not whether or not we're going to create full-time positions. The question is whether or not we're going to recognize full-time work. Now, there's the question right there. Now, folks, I'm telling you, this is hard to preach. If you believe me, now you say amen. Okay. Some attitudes need to change. We read in Galatians chapter 6 a few moments ago. But him that is taught in the word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I say to you, we need staff members that will meet the needs of our people. Folks who can visit. Folks who can free others on the staff to help the special needs of some of our here who have children with serious problems. Now, if we need those men, what we say is, fellas, you help us, and we'll take care of you.
Amen.
That's the philosophy that we've got to have right there. We got some future preachers here that need to begin to sow some attitudes right now that they'll reap when they get in the ministry. When they get out in a church of their own, they'll need people who will say, we'll take care of you. And the way you'll get that is by sowing that kind of an attitude right now. Folks, the ministry is the important job. There's a fellow sitting in this service today. Before he got saved, I spent quite a bit of time with him that day, or that all that week, along about Thursday. Needed to get his car out of the shop. Needed $83 to get it out of the shop. I had $100 in my checking account, and I needed it for bills the next day. And I said, Lord, now I've been teaching folks to pay the bills, but I know this guy needs to get saved. Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, now if I give him $83 to get his car out of the shop to encourage him to get him saved, and he gets saved, that's going to be great, but what am I going to do about my bills? Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to give this guy the money. I gave him the money. I gave him some more food, some more money for groceries. It totaled up to $100. And I said, Lord, this is Thursday. I got bills tomorrow. I need my $100 back. At 9 o'clock that night, somebody knocked on my door and gave me a check for $100. Now, folks, you reap what you sow. If the ministry and the cause of Jesus Christ comes first, then it ought to come first. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. There's an interesting verse right there, one that is very difficult for a preacher to read to his people. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. It's the word time, that means money. Plain and simple. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. That means if you've got a preacher who will study, boy, you got one that you ought to take care of. Now, you don't have one who will study if he doesn't have time to study. You see, I think about those things. But the Scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. We need some full-time staff here. When we say we need some full-time staff, what that means is, okay, you take care of us, and we'll take care of you. Folks, we're not asking for more money. We've already got the money. We just need to spend it a little bit different places than we've been spending it. I believe God will build our building if we'll build our people. I believe that with all my heart. And if I didn't believe that, I'd get out of the ministry. Because I've already preached that too long. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 7 through 14, there's a tremendous passage of Scripture right there. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? And who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. God take care for oxen, or saith he it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Folks, we've not taught this. We've not pressed this point. We've not said, look, here's what we need to do before, because we didn't want to hinder the gospel of Christ. But the time's come, I think, dear friends, when we need to recognize that if we've got men working full time, we ought to meet their needs. Don't you think so? Don't you think that's what God would have us to do? Don't you think God will bless that kind of thing? Don't you think that if we sow that kind of an attitude, that as a church we'll reap the blessing? I know that we will, folks. You go back and check the record. The books are open every time without fail that we have given a financial blessing of some type to somebody, whether it be a special offering, whether it be a pastoral raise, whether it be a special offering to an evangelist, whether it be increased missions giving. Every time without fail, our weekly offerings have gone immediately and permanently up. Every time. Now, God honors His Word. We're going to have to build a building around here sooner or later. How are we going to do it? Not by robbing folks that are working for God, but by making sure that those folks are out reproducing the kind of attitude that I'm preaching today. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. So, I'll tell you about a fellow named Dean Miller, and I'm going to be closed. Dean Miller is a pastor out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Tremendous, tremendous ministry. When he started, he already had a lot of the maturity that I wish I had already. He sat out and wrote down in the policies of his church at the very beginning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to meet in the storefront. And as the pastor, I want to spend full time meeting the needs, the spiritual needs of the people and teaching and visiting. Therefore, I want you to provide housing and an auto and $1,000 a month for me. Now, I don't have that kind of whatever it takes to say that. But that's what he said. God provided them a storefront to meet in. They outgrew that one. They got another one. Pretty soon, because he's not out working a part-time job someplace, he happened to be in a hospital visiting a fellow one night. The fellow took an interest in his ministry. Decided he wanted to give him some land. Started out with 7 acres. It's now totaled 19 acres of the choicest land in Colorado Springs up on top of the mountain. Sold another piece of property and gave him the $400,000 profit from it to build his building. Now, folks, let me ask you something. Do you want to stand before Jesus Christ knowing that somebody on staff here at church didn't run into that fella? He's going to help us because he was not working a second job. Ask yourself that. And when you young fellows get in the ministry, you decide how you want to do it. Folks, we'll make tents if tent making is what it takes to get the cause of Christ accomplished here. But folks, I don't think we need to make tents. We're going to have a $180,000 budget this year in this church. Can you imagine that? If nothing else changes, let's just decide where we want to spend our money. I'm saying to you today, we ought to invest in the lives of people. Let God take care of the building. Don't you think so? The promise of God is that you're going to reap what you sow. I think we ought to do some sowing in some human beings and some living souls. Don't you think so? I hope you do. Let's pray.